23. The twins, the magicians, and Philip all appeared in the living room. Gilbert looked around.
So this is where you live, kids? Very nice.
Sid said,
cozy.
Yes, comfortable, pleasant. I have to assume that's your mother's doing.
Oh, I concur. Were Martin in charge of the decor, I'd have expected movie memorabilia and model spaceships.
Philip looked at the spot where Martin and Gwen had been standing when he'd last seen them.
So, where are your parents?
Maddie said.
Down in the rec room.
As the five of them walked down the stairs into the finished basement, with its movie memorabilia and model spaceships, Sid said,
Ah, yes. This is more in line with my expectations. Clearly, we are now entering Martin's domain.
Brewster said,
We wanted to hide them, so we put them in the Darth Vader and Kylo Ren costumes.
He pointed to the life-sized replicas of Anakin Skywalker and his grandson flanking the TV. Maddie approached the two masked figures, her head cocked to the side.
Have they moved?
When the twins left them there, Vader had been standing with his knees bent and both hands gesturing forward. Ren had stood sideways, pointing with one hand. Now Vader's shoulders were more hunched and his fingers had curled inward. Ren still stood sideways, but the hand was pulled in closer to the body and the head had turned.
Maybe,
Brewster said.
Probably,
Philip said.
Being frozen like this is terribly startling.
Maddie said,
What? They're aware of what's going on? We asked you if they were awake and you said no.
Philip said,
No, I think I told you that they weren't in pain. Then I changed the subject to get out of trying to explain. They aren't unconscious, but they don't understand what's happening. Time is passing incredibly quickly for them. This spell was originally designed as a means of forward time travel. It makes decades go by like seconds. But you stay awake through all of it. Everything happens all at once. And to anyone who sees you in the meantime, your movements are glacially slow.
Gilbert added,
The only reason you can see any movement is because they're moving so quickly from their point of view. They're probably jumping from the shock of the spell and any physical discomfort that might have happened to them in the meantime, like when you put the costumes on them and whatnot.
Brewster muttered,
And whatnot?
Maddie asked,
So if they felt any pain since they got frozen, it all seemed to happen at once to them?
Yes,
Philip said.
And they're probably still feeling it. But that's not your fault. All you did was move and hide them. The Magnuses are to blame for all this. They're the ones who froze them.
And maybe messed with them?
Maddie said.
It sounded like they might have done that.
Brewster looked confused for a moment, but then he started nodding furiously.
Oh yeah, we heard that. It sounded like they beat Dad up pretty good.
Oh. Did it?
Gilbert said, almost laughing. Sid turned and looked at the stairs.
Rather steep, that staircase. It must have been difficult maneuvering your father down it without banging him into the door jam or dropping him at all.
Philip smiled.
Well, this is all just more reason to unfreeze them immediately. I believe we agreed to start with Martin.
Brewster said,
Oh, wait a sec.
Okay, here we go,
Philip interrupted. He pointed his staff at the figure dressed as Darth Vader, coughed, and with an almost apologetic tone said,
Let's kick some ice.
A ray of reddish light shot from the head of his staff, bathing Darth Vader in its glow. An otherworldly, warbling sound filled the air, but was immediately drowned out by a muffled shout of alarm and pain from beneath Vader's helmet. Martin jumped and cringed at the same time, appearing to crumple in on himself as he tumbled forward and rolled on the floor, curled into the fetal position, gripping his left elbow with his right hand. He ripped the Darth Vader helmet off his head and lay there, writhing in pain, his left eye pinched shut for about 2 seconds. Before Maddie and Brewster rushed him. Martin's pained grunts gave way to laughter as his children aggressively hugged him, told him how worried they'd been, then helped lift him to his feet. Martin stood hunched over, his hand clamped over his left eye as if trying to keep it from falling out.
What the hell happened?
Philip said,
It's a long story. Why don't we unfreeze Gwen first?
What? Martin said.
Gwen's frozen? What are you waiting for?
Philip aimed his staff at Gwen, standing immobile in the Kylo Ren costume. Sid leaned over toward Gilbert and said,
Kylo, Gwen.
Gilbert nodded.
We were all thinking it.
Philip said,
Let's kick some ice.
As the red light shot from Philip's staff and lit up Gwen, Martin looked at Philip and said,
Really? You're quoting from Batman and Robin?
I don't like it any more than you do. Talk to Brit the Elder. She wrote the macro.
You went to the Brits for help?
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Gwen leaped straight up into the air, her cape fluttering around her. She whipped the Kylo mask off her head and practically threw it across the room. She quickly looked at her surroundings, then down at what she was wearing. She had only just started to seem like she knew where she was and wouldn't try to kill anyone who got too close to her when Brewster and Maddie abandoned their father and ran to her side. Martin reached out and placed a hand on the wall to support himself, as he was still trying to get his wind back after the abuses he'd suffered while immobile. He tentatively opened his left eye and watched, beaming as his children helped their mother. Martin turned to Philip.
You unfroze me first?
Philip smiled.
Yep.
Martin nodded with satisfaction and looked back to Maddie and Brewster, still hugging a giggling Gwen to within an inch of her life.
You were testing to make sure the spell worked, weren't you?
Philip said,
Yep.
Martin thought for a moment.
Okay, I'm cool with that. Kids, you must both be confused by everything you just saw. I guess it's time for your mother and me to explain.
Maddie said,
Don't worry about it, Dad.
Yeah,
Brewster said.
We already know.
Sid coughed.
Yes, I'm afraid in the process of helping them investigate, we had to educate your offspring in the ways of true magic.
Martin said,
Oh, well, if you had to.
Gwen said,
I'm kind of relieved. I was worried about how we were going to tell them. It's sort of like the sex talk.
Oh,
Gilbert said.
Should we have told them about that, too?
Over my dead body, Gwen said.
Martin turned to Philip.
So what happened?
Our side of it is a long story, and it's mostly Matty and Brewster's to tell. You two should probably go first.
Martin shrugged.
Fair enough. There isn't much to tell. You disappeared. The Magnuses appeared. They asked where you were. We said we didn't know. We asked why they were in our home uninvited. They said they were looking for you, obviously. Galka actually said, obviously. That didn't sit well with us.
I'd imagine.
Then they asked if they could count on our votes for one or both of them to be the next chairman.
You said no?
While laughing. Then Magnus Galka suggested that Magnus Rex freeze us, and before we could really fight back, he did it. Weird, huh?
Philip said,
No, that's pretty much what we figured happened.
Martin blinked his left eye several times and continued to hold his hands around his midsection.
Anyway, it was like a really intense instant of confusing motion and blinding pain. Then you all were here and I was wearing my Darth Vader costume. It feels like they gave me a pretty good working over after they froze me.
Yes,
Maddie said, without pausing to stop hugging Gwen.
They did.
The fiends,
Brewster said. Gwen said,
I feel fine. Seems like they left me alone.
Martin said,
That's good.
Shrugged, then turned and nodded to the magicians.
Gil, Sid, good to see you. Why are you here?
Gilbert said,
We are part of your children's long story.
An integral part,
Sid said.
Too right,
Gilbert said.
We are pretty much their Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda.
Gwen finally found the strength to push her kids out to arm's length to look at them. Her delight gave way to confusion.
What's with the top hats and capes?
Oh, no,
You two taught them magic, didn't you?
Martin rounded on them.
What?
Philip said.
How about we give the kids some time to enjoy having saved their parents before we start complaining about how they did it?
Gilbert smiled at Martin.
They did it with magic and our help.
Yeah, I got that. Did you show them the Spielberg coat hanger trick with your canes?
Yes, Gilbert said, and they booed us.
Martin shook his head.
Kids, no appreciation for the classics.
Martin leaned back on the built-in couch in Gary's conversation pit.
One thing I don't understand. Maddie, how did you have that fight with the Magnuses without getting kicked out of the Oak Ridge Boys concert?
Maddie, Brewster, Gilbert, and Sid all sat side by side, opposite Martin and Gwen, to facilitate the storytelling process. Maddie shook her head.
No, the fight was after the Oak Ridge Boys concert. By then, I was standing in Hitler's car.
Martin nodded.
Ah, I see. Yeah, I was confused because you said you were standing up on the seat.
Brewster said,
you were picturing the theater seats. Hitler's car had an open top.
Yeah, Martin said. Hitler loved convertibles, like all dictators and retired executives.
Gwen said,
kids, that is a crazy story, and now that you know a little more about our background, you know what a high bar it is to have us judge something to be crazy.
Across the room, near the corner, Philip sighed heavily and said,
let's kick some ice.
His staff bathed Tyler in a reddish glow. Tyler leaped straight up in the air.
Hey, whoa, what the hell? The Magnuses froze you,
Philip said.
Yeah,
Tyler said.
The Magnuses froze me.
Because you wouldn't vote for them.
Yeah, they asked if they could count on my vote. I said no, and they froze me.
Philip paused and then said,
yes, that's what happened.
Gwen said,
Gilbert, Sid, I just can't thank you enough for all the help you gave our kids. You kept them fed, you kept them safe. And when it was clear they weren't going to give up, you stuck with them to assist and guide them. You're good friends.
Sid said,
it was our pleasure.
Gilbert added,
we enjoyed every minute of it.
Martin said,
I am bummed that you taught the magic. I was looking forward to that.
Gilbert said,
we know.
Sid smiled.
That added to the pleasure.
Philip walked across the room to the dining table, pointed his staff at Jeff, and said,
let's kick some ice.
Jeff leaped straight up, shouting,
oh, what the hell, hey!
Philip said,
the Magnuses froze you.
That's right,
Jeff said.
The Magnuses, they froze me!
Because you wouldn't vote for them.
They said they were running against you, and they asked for my vote, Royce too. We said no.
Philip said, yes, that's what happened.
Gwen said, Brewster, Matty, we didn't plan for you to have these powers yet, but now that you have them, we're not going to take them away.
Matty said,
good. Unless you make us,
Martin added.
You have to be careful when and how you use them. It's very important that you not let anybody know what you can do.
You can't let anyone see you fly,
Gwen said,
or levitate things, or teleport.
Martin said,
in fact, let's just make it a rule. No magic outside of the house.
Maddie and Brewster both let out anguished cries. Philip pointed his staff at Roy, moaned, and said,
let's kick some ice.
Roy glowed red for a moment, then leaped straight up in the air.
What the hell? Whoa, hey!
Philip, Gary, and Tyler said, the Magnuses froze you.
Yeah,
Roy said.
The Magnuses froze me.
Gary said,
they wanted you to vote for them and you said you wouldn't.
That's exactly what happened.
Philip said,
we know it is.
Jeff added,
I was there.
Yeah,
Roy said.
You were.
Brewster said,
Mom, you can't agree with Dad about not allowing magic outside the house.
Gwen said,
I was going to say no magic outside the house and even inside the house, only on weekends.
Yeah,
Martin said.
Like video games.
And we should limit how much money they can conjure for themselves. I'm thinking a hard limit of, say, $250 a week. That's close to what they'd make at a part-time job after school, isn't it?
Maddie and Brewster looked at their parents, their expressions a mixture of betrayal and disgust. They turned to Gilbert and Sid, looking for allies.
Sid said, "Ah, does one's heart good to see a family reunited and functioning in a healthy manner, doesn't it, Gilbert?"
"It does, Sid. It really does."
Philip pointed his staff at Pete, said,
"Let's kick some ice,"
then quickly moved his staff to Gert and said it again, as if he couldn't get the syllables out of his mouth fast enough. Both Pete and Gert leaped straight up in the air. As they landed, before either of them had a moment to say a word, Philip said,
"Two wizards named Magnus, Frusu, we brought you here to undo their spell. We're going to transport you both back to the tavern the instant after we left, so you won't miss out on any business."
Pete said,
"Well, that's all well and good. But what about the tremendous business opportunity you already denied me?"
"What opportunity?"
Roy asked. Philip said,
"When we arrived, the Magnuses had already frozen Tyler. Pete and Gert were preparing to charge people admission to come look at him, and a fur cloak the Magnuses had left behind, which they were claiming was the pelt of a giant wolf."
Tyler studied Philip's face, then turned to Pete.
"You treated me like an oddity to be gawked at for money? I thought we were friends."
"We are," Pete said. "That's why I didn't think you'd mind helping me out."
"Help you out? By being the main attraction in a two-act freak show where the opening act is a used cloak?"
Philip said,
"You and the cloak were getting equal billing, but you can discuss that later. They have to get back to the tavern."
Before Pete could disagree, Philip pointed his staff at Pete and transported him away. Gert looked at the empty spot where Pete had been standing, then turned to Tyler and said,
"I'm sorry about all of this, Tyler. Pete's been under a lot of pressure. Business at the Rotted Stump has slacked off ever since the Intact Arms opened up shop across town. It's just adding injury to insult, given what they named their tavern to begin with. Anyway, I'd have made sure that Pete didn't let the customers do anything injurious to your dignity, and that you got top billing over the cloak."
Tyler said,
"Thanks, Gert."
Philip transported Gert away. Jeff said,
"She always has been the brains of the operation."
Roy nodded.
"Yeah, Pete's lucky to have her for a silent partner."
Philip rubbed his hands together.
"Okay. Now that that's all out of the way, we can move on to real business. What to do about the Magnuses?"
"Yeah," Maddie said. "It's about time."
"I do have a few ideas,"
Brewster said. Philip nodded.
"I'm sure you do. I have a plan, one I'm sure will work, but I can't discuss it right now because it's on a need-to-know basis. Actually, it's more secret than that. It's on a need-to-not-know basis. Gary, you need to not know because you're the only one here who the Magnuses expect to attend the vote tomorrow. You'll be extremely valuable as an inside man, but we can't run the risk of you tipping our hand, so you won't be privy to the whole plan. Your instructions are to act casual. Pretend that you have no idea what the Magnuses did to the rest of us. Nominate one of them and vote for them, exactly as you promised. Just know that we, all of us whom the Magnuses froze, will intervene at the perfect moment."
"Yeah, that makes sense," Gary said.
"And Matty and Brewster, you need you to not know either."
"Why not?" Matty asked. "What will we be doing?"